ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। किं क्षेमशुरैर्विबुधैर् असंयुग विकथनैः रहोजुषा किं हरिणा शम्भुना वावनौकुशा किं इन्द्रेण अल्पवीर्येण ब्रह्मणा वा तपस्यत। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद। द डेमिगॉड्स बोस्ट यूसलेसली वाइल अवे फ्रॉम द बैटलफील्ड, ओनली वेयर देर इज नो फाइटिंग कैन दे शो देयर प्रोवेस। देयरफॉर फ्रॉम सच डेमिगॉड्स वी हैव नथिंग टू फियर। As for Lord Vishnu, he is in seclusion in the core of the hearts of the yogis. As for Lord Shiva, he has gone to the forest. And as for Lord Brahma, he is always engaged in austerities and meditation. The other demigods, headed by Indra, are devoid of prowess. Therefore, you have nothing to fear. Purport. Kamsa's ministers told Kamsa that all the exalted demigods had fled in fear of him. One had gone to the forest, one to the core of the heart, one to engage in tapasya. Thus, you can be free from all fear of the demigod, they said. Just prepare to fight. At the outset, I crave the blessings of all Vaishnavas gathered in this hall to empower me to speak a few words on this particular verse. We are reading from 10th canto, 4th chapter, entitled The Atrocities of King Kamsa, 36th verse. Now in this particular verse and the preceding verses, Kamsa's ministers are giving counsel to Kamsa. Now this topic has been discussed beautifully by previous speakers. So, why does Kamsa require advice? This vain, conceited, tyrant demon, why does he need advice from his ministers? Ever since Kamsa heard the prophecy that the eighth child of Devaki and Vasudev is going to kill him, he was in great anxiety. This goes to prove that the most powerful are in more anxiety than the common people. He was in great, great anxiety. He murdered ruthlessly the sons of Devaki, one after another, by dashing them against a rock. But even as he was ruthlessly murdering, was he free from anxiety? No. He was in great anxiety because the eighth child was yet to arrive on the scene. And that kept him on tenterhooks. He was very, very nervous all the time. And then, now this day dawned when the eighth child of Devaki was in the prison house and crying. So he was actually waiting for this day. After all, he was to be killed by the eighth child. So he came rushing. As soon as it was reported to him, he came rushing to the prison house. And then he wanted to dash, that was not a boy, it was a girl, he wanted to dash that child against a rock. He had a standardized method of killing children. So he wanted to dash. And then the child slipped out of his hands and assumed the beautiful, magnanimous, awe-inspiring form of, eight-handed form of Durga Devi sitting on a lion. And then Kamsa was really shaken up. Really frustrated. Because all along, so many years, he had built up plans to get rid of the eighth child. So when eighth child is killed, his problems are solved. He can go back to his sense gratification. He can go back to his oppressive methods. So all his plans hinged on this particular day when he would lay his hands on the eighth child and kill it. But now that plan was totally frustrated. And to add to Kamsa's problems, it was also foretold by, or it was announced by Durga Devi that your enemy is born elsewhere. Now, what could be more shocking? So, when we build up plans and they are frustrated, we become very, very tense. So, Kamsa became very, very tense. He must not have been able to sleep that night. It is mentioned in the Bhagavad, Tasyam ratram vyatitam Kamsa ahuya mantrina tebhya achashta tat sarvam yaduktam yoga nidraya. So he called all his ministers and he shared with them his tension, his grief, his fear of what Yoga Maya Durga Devi had announced, that the eighth child, your enemy, is somewhere else. So he shared all that grief with him. And it is in this context that the ministers are giving advice to Kamsa. Now, when advice is given, generally one who wants the advice, he likes to hear what is palatable. So here also, the ministers are giving advice and Kamsa is quite comfortable with the advice that is given. Kamsa could as well have, you know, sought advice from his brother-in-law and sister. He could have sought advice from his father, whom he had imprisoned. So, but no. Or he could have called the sages and brahmanas in the kingdom and sought their advice. But no. He wants advice from his ministers, who were there to speak things which were pleasant for him to hear, things which he was used to hear. So this is a very important problem. Very many times we are in difficulties and we want some advice. And when we go to someone who gives that advice, we want to hear what we like to hear. If the advice is not in that particular way, then we go to some other counselor. So this is how, you know, this is the way of the material world. So here we find that what are the qualifications of Kamsa's advisors? Srila Sukadeva Goswami describes, he says that they were Deva Shatravaha. They were the enemies of demigods. They were Devan Patikrit Amarshaha. They were envious. And they were Na Ati Kovidaha. They were not experts in their dealings. In other words, they had no qualifications whatsoever to advise Kamsa. So an advice has got to be very, very objective and for the ultimate benefit of the person who is seeking advice. And in this case, it was totally different. So what should be the nature of advice given to a person who is seeking advice? What are the different categories of advice? For this, we have to rewind and go from Dwapar Yuga to Treta Yuga. So we have a very vivid example in Ravana. So when you rewind and go to Treta Yuga, you find that Ravana was also in a similar predicament. He also became very, very tense. The most powerful demon on surface of earth also became very fearful. How and why? So we have actually a class given by Ravana to his ministers on the system of counseling. This is found in pages of Ramayana. Don't be shocked, it is there in Ramayana. So Ravana advising Ravana actually setting the code for, you know, advisors. Now, this is, of course, preposterous, because Ravana is not going to follow any code of any advice, but still, he is giving advice. So, how did this happen? This happened because Ravana had kidnapped Sita and he had kept her in the Ashokavati in Sri Lanka. And according to Ravana's estimation, no living entity could have entered into Lanka. Who would be able to cross the ocean? Who would be able to, you know, penetrate through all the, you know, barriers which Ravana had created and have access to Mother Sita? But he had no idea whatsoever that there was a personality who could do this very, very easily. And who was that personality? It was Hiramaduta Hanumanji. So Ravan says, Ravan called, when Ravan was totally shaken up, he thought that Lanka was impregnable. Nobody could enter it. But Hanumanji entered it. So he says to his ministers, Darshita cha pravishta cha Lanka dushprasaha puri tena vanara matrena drushta sita cha janaki. For Ravana, he identified himself with Lanka totally. Lanka was his, you know, as you say, life and soul, so to say. And the very thought that his Lanka could be penetrated literally rattled him totally. He was in the same state of shock as Kamsa was when he heard the prediction that his enemy is born elsewhere, totally shaken up. So Ravana told his ministers that the city of Lanka has been penetrated into and Sita found out by Hanuman, who is a mere monkey, vanara matrena. So if a messenger of Lord Ram could have done this, then what to speak of the Supreme Lord Ramchandra himself? So Lanka has, he told his ministers, Lanka has been ravaged. There are a series of verses. Lanka has been ravaged. My palace is in ruins. And many of the best Brahmanas, they are all dead. And then Ravan said, Mantra moolam cha vijayam pravadanti manasvina tasmad vairochayam mantram ramam prati mahabalaha. Then Ravana spoke words which actually appeal to everyone's heart today. Sometimes when demons speak philosophy, they may not follow it, but the philosophy, there is nothing wrong with the philosophy. So here Ravana is saying, Mantra moolam cha vijayam pravadanti manasvinaha tasmad vai rochaye mantram ramam prati mahabala. He said that the wise declare that victory is dependent on good counsel. So he is highlighting or emphasizing the importance of getting proper counsel. And he says that I therefore prefer to take counsel from you, mighty demons, as to what I should do about my attitude towards Ram. So Ravana is humbling himself before his ministers. This is something unthinkable, but he's doing it. Why? Because he is totally traumatized by the havoc that was wrought upon Lanka by Hanumanji. So he's in that state. So he's asking his ministers, give me some advice. And then Ravana continued. Virtually, he gave a class on counselor system. He says that there are three classes of men in this world. They can be categorized into Uttama, Madhyama, and Adhama. He said the Uttama class, he talked about Uttama class. He said, before initiating any important work, a wise man will take advice from those who are superior as well as from friends who have common interests. Then according to the advice received, he will exert himself to the best of his ability while depending on destiny for the result. Now, this is high philosophy. Karmane vadikaraste. Then he said that the second category of people, Madhyama, is that such mediocre person or such a mediocre person, he will think of over the matter himself. He will try to use his intelligence and then come to a conclusion. Then who is the third category? The Adama. The vilest of men have no faith in God. Those who act whimsically without any sense of duty, being unable to properly judge that which is beneficial and that which is harmful. Such persons proceed blindly. I shall do whatever I want. So this is the attitude of the third type. And Ravana continued further. He wanted to lay guidelines for his ministers to give advice. So he says that good advice or uttam advice is that which is given after an objective study of the problem and what is in agreement with religious principles. Ravana is speaking this. Madhyama advice, that which is given after heated discussion, which places more emphasis on limited self-interest than religious principles. And what is the lowest? The lowest one is Adhama advice is that which is given out of false pride or to flatter and which does not take into consideration the ultimate consequences. So you see that Ravana has knowledge. He has knowledge. But as His Holiness Radhana Swami pointed out in his beautiful class, he had no character. So he is able to postulate very, very nice things before his demon ministers, but he had no character and therefore he did not follow. So what did his ministers do? He, ministers reciprocated with Ravana totally. What did they do? They said that, O king, why are you afraid? You can defeat Ram and his army single-handedly. Then they said, Ravan, don't you remember that you took away forcibly Lanka from Kuvera by defeating him totally? Your son Indrajit, he alone is capable of killing Ram and his entire army. So why are you afraid? Should fight. So this way the minister, we find similar thoughts expressed by Kamsa's ministers here. He says, why are you afraid? You should not be afraid at all. So then one by one, we won't go into the details, one by one his ministers, Prahastha, Vajradhanustra, Nikumbha, son of Kumbhakarna, all of them spoke in the same way. They just wanted to flatter. They were giving Adhama advice, the third category advice. They just wanted to flatter Ravana. After all, why are they flattering him? Because they are concerned with their own sense gratification. They are not interested in the person, his welfare. Now this is very, very important, that a person who gives advice or who gives counsel, he should be objective. He should analyze the problem. He should understand the pros and cons and then advise objectively for the welfare of the person who is seeking advice. This was not at all the case with Ravana. Not at all the case with Ravana. So only person, only minister who gave proper advice was Vibhishan. Everyone else, even Kumbhakarna, you know, actually chastised Ravana. He said that you should not have, you know, kidnapped Sita. Did you ask us before you did it? But then later on he said, no, but you are my brother, you know, I'll also fight for you. So this is how it went on. But Vibhishan, a devotee of the Lord, he was very, very strong. He came out, he said that, in short, he said that the root cause of your problem is that you have kidnapped, Mother Sita, worshipable Mother Sita. This is the root cause of your problem. Why don't you understand that this is the root cause of the problem? And the only way you can redeem yourself now at this stage in your life is to return Sita to Ram. This will solve all the problems, all your anxieties, everything will be solved. This was an objective advice, uttama actually, advice that was given to Ravan by Vibhishan. And then Vibhishan said something else. He said I am speaking honestly, whereas the other ministers are simply flattering you. This is true. So very often when we go to somebody for advice, if we want something done according to what we want, then we tend to flatter the person. So here the ministers were advising Ravana wrongly, and Ravana got to hear what he wanted to hear. He got to hear what he wanted to hear, not what he should hear. So actually the beauty of this entire counseling is that when proper advice is given, it should be followed. Followed with gratitude. So this was not the case with Ravan. So he did not accept Vibhishan's advice. So in the verses we are now reading also, Kamsa's ministers, they wanted to just flatter Kamsa. So what did they tell him? We read in the previous verses that let us kill all the children born in all the villages, in the towns and the pasture grounds within the past 10 days and the next 10 days. So when all the children are killed, Krishna will be one of them. This is their logic. Then they say that these demigods, they are in fear of you and they have lost their ability to fight. In fact, Kamsa, you have been very kind to them. Don't be kind to them anymore. You kill them ruthlessly. And then in the verse that we are reading, it says here that the demigods boast uselessly while away from the battlefield. So very stupidly, the ministers are telling Kamsa that the demigods are, you know, boasting uselessly. Only where there is no fighting can they show their prowess. Therefore, from such demigods, we have nothing to fear. So they are reinforcing the false ego of Kamsa. They are bolstering up his false ego, which would provoke him to do all wrong activity. As for Lord Vishnu, he is in seclusion in the core of the hearts of yogis. Lord Shiva has become, he is in Vanaprastha. Don't have to fear him. Brahma is always, you know, preoccupied with meditation. So this way, why are you worried? You should not be worried at all. And Indra, he has no prowess. He is alpavirya. He has lost his virya. So you have nothing to worry. So you carry on. You fight. So this is the advice which was given to Kamsa by his ministers. And we'll read in subsequent pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam about the atrocities which Kamsa performed and what were the consequences. Today also happens to be the disappearance day of Devanand Pandit, an associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have no qualifications whatsoever to speak on the subject, but as my service, I would like to speak a few words based on what we read in Srila Prabhupada's purports in Chaitanya Charitamrita, what I have heard from His Holiness Radhanaswami Maharaj and Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj on this topic of Devanand Pandit. Now, it is described that Devanand Pandit, whose disappearance day is today, he was in Krishna Lila, he was Bhaguri Muni, who was actually a scholar in the court of Nanda Maharaj. And his job was to recite the holy scriptures. He was doing that. And this is mentioned in Srila Prabhupada's purports. And then we are introduced to Devanand Pandit by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami through two verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which we will briefly discuss. Bhagavati Devananda Vakreshwara Krupate Bhagavatera Bhakti Artha Paila Prabhu Haite. Devanand Pandit was a professional reciter of Srimad Bhagavat, but by the mercy of Vakreshwar Pandit and the grace of the Lord, he understood the devotional interpretation of Bhagavat. In the second verse,
ಕುಲಿಯಾ ಗ್ರಾಮೆ ಕೈಲ ದೇವಾನಂದೇರ್ ಪ್ರಸಾದ್ ಗೋಪಾಲ ವಿಪ್ರೇರ ಕ್ಷಮಾಯಲ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸ ಪರಾದ್. ಸೊ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮಹಾಪ್ರಭು ಗೇವ್ ಮರ್ಸಿ ಟು ದೇವಾನಂದ್ ಪಂಡಿತ್ ಆಫ್ಟರ್ ಫಾರ್ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಹಿ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಕ್ಯೂಸ್ ದ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣ ನೋನ್ ಆಸ್ ಗೋಪಾಲ್ ಚಪಲ್. ವೆನ್ ದೇರ್ ಇಸ್ ಅ ಮೆನ್ಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಫಾರ್ಗಿವ್ನೆಸ್ ಬೀಂಗ್ ಗಿವನ್ ಟು ದೇವಾನಂದ್ ಪಂಡಿತ್ ಇಟ್ ಇಂಪ್ಲೈಸ್ ದಟ್ ಹಿ ಕಮಿಟೆಡ್ ಎನ್ ಅಪರಾಧ. ದಿ ಅಪರಾಧ ದಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ಕಮಿಟೆಡ್ ಬೈ ಗೋಪಾಲ್ ಚಪಲ್ ಇಸ್ ವೆಲ್ ನೋನ್. ಐ ಡೋಂಟ್ ವಾಂಟ್ ಟು ಗೋ ಇನ್ ಟು ಡೀಟೇಲ್ಸ್. ಹಿ ಆಕ್ಚುಲಿ ಇನ್ ಎ ವೆರಿ ಗ್ರಾಸ್ ವೇ ಹಿ ಒಫೆಂಡೆಡ್ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್, ದಿ ಇಟರ್ನಲ್ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಚೈತನ್ಯ, ಒನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಮೆಂಬರ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಪಂಚತತ್ವ. ವಿ ಚಾಂಟ್ ದ ನೇಮ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಎವ್ರಿ ಡೇ ಬಿಫೋರ್ ವಿ ಚಾಂಟ್ ದ ಹೋಲಿ ನೇಮ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವೈ ಡಿಡ್ ಗೋಪಾಲ್ ಚಪಲ್ ಯುನೋ ಒಫೆಂಡ್ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್? ಔಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಶಿಯರ್ ಎನ್ವಿ. ಹಿ ಡಿಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಬಿಕಮ್ ಸೋ ವೆರಿ ಪಾಪ್ಯುಲರ್, ಸೊ ವೆರಿ ವಂಡರ್ಫುಲ್, ಸಚ್ ಎ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಡಿವೋಟಿ. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಟು ಹ್ಯುಮಿಲಿಯೇಟ್ ಹಿಮ್, ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಟು ಡಿಫೇಮ್ ಹಿಮ್, ಸ್ಪಾಯ್ಲ್ ಇಸ್ ರೆಪ್ಯುಟೇಷನ್. ದಿಸ್ ಗೋಪಾಲ್ ಚಪಲ್ ಡಿಡ್ ಸಮ್ ಆಕ್ಟಿವಿಟಿ. ಹಿ ಪುಟ್ ಸಮ್ ಅನ್ಮೆನ್ಷನೇಬಲ್ಸ್ ಯು ನೋ ಫ್ರಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಹೌಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಹಿ ಅಡ್ವರ್ಟೈಸ್ ದಟ್ ಲುಕ್ ವಾಟ್ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಇಸ್, ಯು ಆರ್ ಕಾಲಿಂಗ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಎ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಡಿವೋಟಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಸಿ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಹಿ ಈಸ್. ಬಟ್ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್, ದ ಸೇಂಟ್ಲಿ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್, ಹಿ ಎಕ್ಸೆಪ್ಟೆಡ್ ದಟ್. ಹಿ ಡಿಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಪ್ರೊಟೆಸ್ಟ್ ಎಟ್ ಆಲ್. ಬಟ್ ದ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಅರೌಂಡ್ ಹೂ ನ್ಯೂ ದ ಎಕ್ಸಾಲ್ಟೆಡ್ ನೇಚರ್ ಆಫ್ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್, ದೇ ಡಿಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಬಿಲೀವ್ ದಿಸ್ ಗೋಪಾಲ್ ಚಪಲ್ ಎಟ್ ಆಲ್. ಸೊ ದೇ ಕ್ಲೀನ್ಡ್ ಅಪ್ ದ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ದರ್ ವಾಸ್ ಅ ರಿಯಾಕ್ಷನ್. ಗೋಪಾಲ್ ಚಪಲ್ ಗಾಟ್ ಲೆಪ್ರಸಿ, ವೆರಿ ವೆರಿ ಬ್ಯಾಡ್ ಟೈಪ್ ಆಫ್ ಲೆಪ್ರಸಿ, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಈ ಸಫರ್ಡ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಈ ಸಫರ್ಡ್. ಈ ವಾಸ್ ಇನ್ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಮಿಸರಿ. ಸೊ ದಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಒಫೆನ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ಹಿಸ್ ಗ್ರಾಸ್ ಒಫೆನ್ಸ್ ಅರ್ನ್ಡ್ ಹಿಮ್ ದಿಸ್. ಸೊ ವಾಟ್ ಆರ್ ದ ಒಫೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದೇವಾನಂದ್ ಪಂಡಿತ್? ವಾಟ್ ಒಫೆನ್ಸ್ ಡಿಡ್ ಹಿ ಕಮಿಟ್? ಸೊ ವಿ ವಿಲ್ ಬ್ರೀಫ್ಲಿ ಟಾಕ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದಿಸ್. ಸೊ ವೃಂದಾವನ್ ದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ಸ್ ದೇವಾನಂದ್ ಪಂಡಿತ್, ಹಿಸ್ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟೀಸ್. ಜ್ಞಾನವಂತ ತಪಸ್ವಿ ಆಜನ್ಮ ಉದಾಸೀನ್ ಭಾಗವತ್ ಪಡಾಯ್ ತಥಾಪಿ ಭಕ್ತಿಹೀನ್. ಸೊ ದೇವಾನಂದ್ ಪಂಡಿತ್, ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಜ್ಞಾನವಂತ, ಹಿ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್, ವೆರಿ ವೆರಿ ನಾಲೆಜೇಬಲ್. ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ತಪಸ್ವಿ, ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಗಿವನ್ ಟು ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಆಸ್ಟೆರಿಟೀಸ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಆಜನ್ಮ ಉದಾಸೀನ್, ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಉದಾಸೀನ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಟೋಟಲಿ ಡಿಟ್ಯಾಚ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಮಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್. ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಭಾಗವತ್ ಪಠಾಯ್, ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ರಿಸೈಟಿಂಗ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ. ಸೊ ಆಲ್ ದ ಕ್ವಾಲಿಟೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ವಂಡರ್ಫುಲ್, ಇಸ್ಂಟ್ ಇಟ್? ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ವಂಡರ್ಫುಲ್. ಬಟ್ ವಾಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ಲ್ಯಾಕಿಂಗ್? ತಥಾಪಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಹೀನ್. ಸೊ ಇನ್ ದ ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಫ್ಯೂ ಡೇಸ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿಫುಲ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಷನ್ಸ್ ಆನ್ ದ ಕನ್ಸೆಪ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಯು ನೋ ದ ಇಮೋಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ. ಬ್ಯೂಟಿಫುಲ್ ಟಾಕ್ ಬೈ ಪ್ರೇಮದಾಸ್ ಪ್ರಭು ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಉರ್ಮಿಲಾ ಮಾತಾಜಿ, ರಾಧಾನಾಥ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಅದರ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ವಿ ಫೈಂಡ್ ದಟ್ ಭಾಗವತ್ ಪಠಾಯ್ ತಥಾಪಿ ಭಕ್ತಿಹೀನ್. ಸೊ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ಅ ಡ್ರೈ ಪರ್ಸನ್, ಇಂಪರ್ಸನಲಿಸ್ಟಿಕ್ ಪರ್ಸನ್, ಮುಮುಕ್ಷು, ಡಿಸೈರ್ಡ್ ಲಿಬರೇಷನ್. ಸೊ ಹಿ ಸ್ಪೋಕನ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಬಟ್ ಭಕ್ತಿಹೀನ್. ಸೊ ದೇರ್ ವಾಸ್ ನೋ ಮಾಯಿಶ್ಚರ್ ಆಫ್ ಯು ನೋ ಭಕ್ತಿ. ಇಫ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಇಸ್ ವೆರಿ ವೆರಿ ಡ್ರೈ, ವಿ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಕೆನಾಟ್ ಈಟ್ ಇಟ್, ವಿ ಇಮಿಡಿಯೇಟ್ಲಿ ನೀಡ್ ಸಮ್ ಯು ನೋ ವಾಟರ್, ರೈಟ್? ಸಮಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಯು ನೋ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಸರ್ವ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಂಗ್ ಸಂಡೇ ಫೀಸ್, ಯು ನೋ ಸಮ್ ಉಪ್ಮಾ ಆರ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್, ಬಟ್ ದ ಟೆಂಪಲ್ ಎನ್ಶೂರ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ವಿ ಗೆಟ್ ಸಮ್ ಯು ನೋ ಸೂಪ್ ಆರ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಎಲ್ಸ್ ವಿಚ್ ವಿಲ್ ಮೈಸನ್ಸ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಡ್ರೈ ಪ್ರಿಪರೇಷನ್. ಸೊ ಲೈಕ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ವಿದೌಟ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಯು ನೋ ಇಸ್ ಇನ್ಕಂಪ್ಲೀಟ್ ಟೋಟಲಿ. ಸೊ ಹಿ ಸ್ಪೋಕ್ ಆನ್ ಭಾಗವತ್ ಬಟ್ ಹಿ ಡಿಡ್ ನಾಟ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ದ ಕನ್ಕ್ಲೂಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಭಾಗವತ್ ವಿಚ್ ಇಸ್ ಸಿಂಪ್ಲಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಎಲೋನ್. ಸೊ ಲವ್ ಫಾರ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ವಾಸ್ ಕಾನ್ಸ್ಪಿಕ್ಯೂಸ್ ಬೈ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಎಬ್ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಟಾಕ್. ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಇಮ್ಯಾಜಿನ್ ಎ ಪ್ರವಚನ್ ಆನ್ ಭಾಗವತ್ ವಿಚ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ನೋ
which doesn't have the essence of Bhagavat, that is bhakti, or you know, about devotees. So this way he was giving classes day after day in his ashram, and there were several smartha brahmanas and others who had no love for Krishna. They would attend his classes very regularly. They were very regularly take down notes and everything, because they were also interested in, you know, using their, you know, ability to talk to earn a living. So they were attending very, very regularly. So one day it so happened that Srivas Thakur decided that he will attend the class of Devanand Pandit. Now this particular pastime took place before, you know, Nimai Pandit or Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, exhibited his pastimes. It happened before, long before he came on the scene as the Supreme Lord. Now what happened was that Srivas Thakur went to the assembly where this class was being given by Devanand Pandit. And as he was hearing the words of Srimad Bhagavatam, because Srivas Thakur was a devotee of the Lord, who was Krishnamaya himself, to him every word of Bhagavatam was full of love of Krishna. Though Devanand Pandit himself didn't possess it, he evoked that feeling of love for Krishna when he was reading from the Bhagavatam. Akshare akshare Bhagavat premamay shuniya dravilo shrini nivasera hriday. So to him the words of the Srimad Bhagavatam were premamaya. So though Devanand Pandit presentation was without any devotion whatsoever, he was started exhibiting symptoms of great ecstasy. He started sighing and so many other, you know, things, symptoms were manifest. And the other people sitting in the class, you know, these smartha brahmanas, they were disturbed. They were thinking, what is this man, you know, exhibiting all kinds of symptoms? Actually, he's actually disturbing us. So what they did was that they physically lifted Srivas Thakur from that assembly and threw him out. You can imagine what kind of an offense that was. Great offense. What happened to those smartha brahmanas is not reported in Chaitanya Charitamrita. But what was Devanand Pandit's offense then? He did not physically lift Srivas Thakur and throw, but he remained a silent spectator when this offense was being committed by his students. And that's even a greater offense that was done. So this was the offense that Devanand Pandit committed. And this, and years later, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who knows the past, present and future, Vedaham samatitani, vartamanani cha arjuna, bhavishyani cha bhutani, mam tu vedana kaschana. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew what kind of an offense Devanand Pandit had committed against his devotee. So he one day happened to pass by the ashram of Devanand Pandit, and Devanand Pandit was as usual giving his class, and he paused there just to see whether there was even a sprinkling of devotion in what he said, what Devanand Pandit talked. There was none. There was no, not at all, not even a trace. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very angry. So during his next visit, he remembered the Vaishnava aparad that he had committed, and because of that, he became angry, very angry. So what he did was that he rebuked Devanand Pandit. He said that, do you realize that you have committed an offense against my pure devotee, Srivas Thakur? And he said that even Mother Ganga wants darshan of Srivas Thakur. Such is the caliber of Srivas Thakur. And you have offended him. And he said that you are presenting Srimad Bhagavatam without any iota of bhakti in it. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the book incarnation of Krishna. It is non-different from Krishna. So your presentation is absolutely bogus. This way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, chastised this Devanand Pandit. And to the credit of Devanand Pandit, it must be said that this time when he was chastised by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he accepted that, you know, chastisement, you know, faithfully and gracefully. And because he did not, you know, refute or did not argue or did not, you know, come out with any reaction, he got the grace of the Lord. And how did he get that grace? He got the grace in the form of a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, whose name was Vakreshwar Pandit. Now, Vakreshwar Pandit was a great Bhagavata devotee of the Supreme Lord, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his life was full of Krishna. He knew nothing else but Krishna. And one special attribute of him was that whenever there was Sankirtan, he would dance. And he would dance beautifully, very gracefully. So he became famous for his, you know, dancing. And he would dance for hours together. And it turned out, by the good fortune of Devanand Pandit, that one day Vakreshwar Pandit happened to come there and he stayed with Devanand Pandit. So Devanand Pandit got association of a devotee, that of Vakreshwar Pandit, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when he got his devotion, Devanand Pandit, who did not really have any respect or love for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at that point in time, now developed, you know, feelings. And he realized the divinity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He became inspired by the dealings of Vakreshwar Pandit. So a devotee of the Lord can inspire. We may not be at that stage where we can have, you know, direct dealings with the Supreme Lord, but we can definitely interact and definitely associate with devotees and improve the quality of our spiritual life. So Vakreshwar Pandit gave his association to Devanand Pandit. And when Vakreshwar Pandit would dance, and he would dance for many hours as has been stated, sometimes in his ecstasy he would, you know, totter and almost fall. So Devanand Pandit would hold him. He would save him, you know, from falling. In other words, to put it briefly, he would protect him in all situations when he was dancing. And this act actually pleased Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So whatever offense Devanand Pandit had committed, that got, you know, completely neutralized by his service to a devotee of the Lord. So when a devotee of the Lord is served, the Lord is extremely pleased. Madbhakta Pujya Bidhaka. So when a devotee is worshipped or when a devotee is served, then the Lord becomes very happy. So he became very, very extremely happy with Devanand Pandit. So then when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a sannyasi, he came to Kuliagram. That particular place is known as Aparadha Bhanjana Sthan or Aparadha Bhanjana Pad. So that Kulia is a place where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very munificent, very magnificent, Namo Mahavadanyaya, he forgave the offenses of everyone at that particular place. So it is called Aparadha Bhanjana, you know, Sthana. That is the place where Lord Chaitanya forgave everyone. So there everyone came who had offended. They came and, you know, begged for forgiveness. And the merciful Lord forgave everyone. He forgave everyone. So that's the place where Gopal Chappal, he was, you know, forgiven by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gopala Viprere Kshamayala Srivas Aparad. Coincidentally, both had committed aparad, you know, at the lotus feet of Srivas Thakur. Gopal Chappal as well as Devanand Pandit. And similarly, Devanand Pandit, he came there. He begged for forgiveness from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said that, you know, I'm extremely sorry. Please forgive me for the offense I have committed. And also please forgive me for having presented the Srimad Bhagavatam without any devotional aspect, which is also an offense. So when you sit on a Vyasasan and so many people are listening and you do not really convey the true import of Srimad Bhagavatam, in one sense it is an aparadh, and it was an aparadh. So Devanand Pandit, by mercy of Lord Chaitanya, realized the aparadh that he had committed and he begged forgiveness, and Lord Chaitanya forgave him and gave him, you know, Krishna Prem. So his life became successful. So we should not be judgmental about why Devanand Pandit did what he did, but we can learn from this that we should never ever offend a devotee in any situation. And if we have offended a devotee, we must go and, you know, offer obeisances and plead, you know, ask for their forgiveness. We learn another lesson that if we want our offenses to be neutralized, we have to really, of course, plead with the Lord to forgive us, but also serve a devotee of the Lord to the best of our ability. That way our offenses can be forgiven, because we really do not know how many offenses we commit in our spiritual life. So it's a very important lesson that we can learn from Devanand Pandit's life. So Devanand Pandit Mahashay ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Srimad Bhagavat Puranam ki jai.